and my wife came for the first time with me to Namibia. Milani, can you just wave to the people there at the back? Last year, Dennis said that I may not come back to Namibia again if I don't bring my wife with. So I did as promised, and we really had a great time this week. Thanks, Jaco, for just your hospitality, and it's just awesome to experience what God is busy doing here in the congregation. It's also such a privilege to see what God is busy doing in Namibia. It's awesome to see some of our brothers there from Okanja, and just the blessing that they've been to this church as well. I really want to honor you. I love the fathers in the faith. I learned so much from them. So thanks a lot for your impartation. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we want to just consecrate this time unto you. We want to pray in Jesus' name that you will, Father, just touch our hearts. That Holy Spirit, you will be the one to enable us to experience the heartbeat of the Father, and that we will get onto the same page, onto the agenda of Father God. Jesus, thank you for the cross. This weekend especially, we want to say thank you just for your sacrifice, for your blood, for each one of us. Thank you that we can consecrate our families unto you, and that we can, a weekend like this, just recognize your lordship over our lives, over our families, and over this congregation. We just want to pray in Jesus' name that your will be done and your kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you lead us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. About a month or 2 ago, I can't remember, I went to the airport. I've got the privilege of just going around to all the shofar churches, and just to go and assist and see what God is busy doing in all of the churches. And that specific Saturday, I remember the afternoon, I said to my wife, for the first time, we've got three little daughters, one of seven, five, and then of about, is it now a year and a month? you always ask your wife such questions just to make sure. We went to the airport, and I asked them to come with, because every time I must explain to the little girls why I'm going on a trip, and you know, just how it works, airplane, airport, and all of those things. And that specific Saturday, they decided to come with, and we were on a rush. For those of you that do have families, you will know that having the whole family to get into the car and to go anywhere is a mission trip in itself. And we got to the airport and we were late. And for the first time in my life, I had to buy a new airplane ticket. And I remember buying the ticket, and I was so tired that afternoon. And then I had to go with a later flight, which meant that I would have come at 9 o'clock in Joburg and then drive all the way to Standerton still, where I had to preach the next morning. Long way. But to cut the whole story short, I sat in the airplane and I saw this guy next to me, and he was clinging to his armrests. And I could just see, you know, the knuckles so white on those armrests. You know, and as we lifted off with the aeroplane, I could just see, you know, this guy is so afraid. You know, if we get into the air without him shouting, it would be a miracle. And we got into the air, and then I just wanted to sleep. I felt so tired. I thought maybe just, you know, having a nap before driving all the way to Standerton. And as it works always, when the flesh are weak, you know, you get to the place where God challenges you. You sit next to a guy, he's so afraid, but you recognize that, you know, with this fear, he went to the bar beforehand to get some versterkings. What's that in English? Courage. Yeah, that's a good one. So I realized that even with this fear, he had a lot of courage. So he was sitting next to me, and now he was just starting to share his whole life story. And now, As any pastor would know here in the house, Jaco, I don't know if you experience that, but always when you get to the question, what do you do for a living? As a pastor, you don't want to answer. You know, if you answer this one, then the whole attitude next to you will change, and that person will put on his religious jacket, and you will have to be the pastor for the next 2 hours. But nevertheless, I said to him, I'm pastor, and I'm traveling around to all the churches. And so now the courage grew. And this guy even ordered 2 more beers, you know, for the rest of the flight. And I knew I'm in for a thing that evening. And he started to share his life experience from being 7 years old to this day, and how the church kicked him out, and how bad the church is, and the whole experience. But I soon recognized that there was a lot of people sitting around us feeding from this conversation now. You know those conversations where you see the people's ears just among the, or between the two seats, and you know that they are not really sleeping. They are actually listening to this conversation now. They are sharing in the moment. And so with the intensity of this conversation, I just asked God, God, what should I say to this guy? You know, if I start to speak now, I can get all of the aeroplane against me. And always when it gets to church matters, it's very difficult. But anyhow, he asked me, so what is your church? What makes your church different than all of the other churches, and especially the church that I were in? Now, this is a very difficult question, because if he would allow me, I would speak a week on that. But I love the body. And I prayed to God, and I said, God, please, I must answer this one now with a lot of fear and trembling before you. And I must make sure that the whole of the aeroplane listening get onto your page. And so God just dropped in my spirit, just ask him, because one of the biggest issues at that stage was the church that fought with him because he was drinking 11 o'clock in the morning rather than 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Of all the offenses in his heart, I could just recognize this was the biggest one. And the Lord said to me, just ask him, what does I say about him drinking 11 o'clock in the morning? So I didn't step into the trap of church. But immediately, when I asked him the question, so what does Jesus say about your experience of 11 o'clock, drinking 11 o'clock in the morning? Does he have a problem with you drinking 11 o'clock in the morning? And I could just see the whole conversation change the rest of the afternoon. Because there was something that God wanted to speak into the heart of this man. There was something about the life of Christ, about the Spirit of God being imparted into the conversation. And I was sitting there, and I was, as the conversation went on, recognized that this guy does not have a clue about what Jesus Christ is all about. He was claiming to have all the answers, and that the church is wrong and he's right. But it was evident that there was no relationship. And I want to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ today, if there's one big confrontation that all of us will experience in these days, it will be, is the Spirit at work in our churches? Do we really experience God the Father operating in our church? I love the body of Christ. I know that even though it's not perfect, you know, Jesus Christ is in it, and he really wants to bless us in experiencing a blessed church life. Galatians 5:25. If in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This walk, the term walk, it's also used in the Greek terminology as walking in rank, making sure to stay in step with your ranking officer, to keep your eyes on the officer in charge and to make sure that you stay in step with where he's heading. So if Paul speaks about being in step with the Spirit, he says that there's a place where you and I step into and follow the commanding leader. You know what? I remember last year speaking to my little daughter. She's now 7 years old, having some conversations with her. I remember sitting on her bed, and one of the questions that she popped to me was, "Dad, I just want to know this story that you are reading to me now about the woman at the well. What is living water?" It was very difficult now. Those dads in the house, yeah, would also recognize today that it's quite difficult when your kids start to ask you questions, especially when it comes to the gospel and just an experience with Jesus. Because it also helps you to start to think about your own Christianity, your own relationship with God. As she asked me, "God, Father, just tell me, what is living water?" I said to her, you know, and the more I try to explain, how do you explain living water? And as I reach a conclusion, I said to her, "My daughter, actually, I must tell you, it sounds like we must pray about this one. We must ask God that He will reveal to you what living water is all about." The next morning, I was just listening to a conversation that she had with her mom. At that stage, she was busy drying the hair of the two girls. And I heard her saying, "Mom, me and Dad last night spoke about living water. And tonight, as I slept, I dreamt about the fact that Jesus said, 'I'm the living water. I want you to go to school today, and you must pray for the people so that they will experience life, that they will receive healing.'" And I immediately knew that something was busy happening in her little spirit. There's something that I could not tell her and not answer her, but only the Spirit of God. I want to tell you today, if there's a challenge for the church, it's the one of experiencing the Spirit at work in our midst, Romans 8, verse 4 to 5, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's a place where we recognize the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. But you know what? I remember years ago, just sitting one morning, experiencing a quiet time with Jesus. And I said to him, "You know what? It would have been very nice to spend 3 years together with you in discipleship. As the disciples walked with you, I would so loved to be with you. And just to experience the answers that you would give to the people." And the Lord said to me, "You know what? I left you my Holy Spirit. I'm with you every day. You're better off with having me with you every day." And I want to say to you, you know what? Us as Christians so easily take for granted the fact that Jesus is with us every day. That living according to the Spirit and getting the impartation of the Spirit is such a privilege if you get to understand what Paul is saying. Speaking about the minds on the flesh, Romans 8, verse 6 to 9. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his." There's a place where we start to operate in the flesh, where we experience our own strength, being not in step with God, and we cannot please God. And Paul speaks about the fact that the more he tried, and I want to even read the scripture to you, Romans 7, verse 18. And I want to encourage you, go and read Romans 7 and 8 tonight and during the week, just to hear the heartbeat of a man knowing how to walk in the Spirit. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who did it, but sin who dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretch man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul is saying that the more he tries to do good, he doesn't get it right. There's a place where our reasoning kicks in and we start to try to justify our actions. As I was listening to this guy sitting in the airplane, he was telling me about all these things that the church had against him. And I later on said to him, you know what, I want to just ask you, why is this an issue if it's not an issue? Are you with me this morning? Why is this an issue if it's not an issue? We as humans so often try to justify what we are doing and try to explain to people why we act the way that we are acting. Because we walk in the flesh. It won't be an issue if we walk in the Spirit of God. You know what? I get so many people that come to me and they try to talk about, just the other day I spoke to a guy and he said to me, you know what, I don't need to go to church on a Sunday. I'd rather stay at home and spend time with my family and share the Word of God. And you know what, I'd rather stay at home as well if the Spirit of God is not moving among us. There's so many things in the church today that we are confronting ourselves with, which God, through the Spirit in our lives, is telling us, step up into the Spirit. I'm challenged because listening to this guy and other guy coming to me saying, you know what, kingdom is not in church, it's in my business, I would agree. I would say to you this morning, you know what, if we are spending time together as a church because we must be here, and because we need to be here on a Sunday, we are missing it altogether. Because God, through His Spirit, wants to impart into our lives to go and change the world. I also know that Christ came for the church. I know that, you know, for us, we are waiting for revelations to unfold as Jesus loves the bride so much that He's preparing the bride. But we are the bride. Therefore, if Paul speaks about the Spirit and about the flesh, I want to tell you, we as a church can easily have dead works, committing ourselves toward a place where we are so committed to things and to stuff and to events that we miss the Spirit of God altogether. But if we experience the Spirit at work in our church, we experience the blessing of Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's so nice to speak to people that have a peace in their hearts about what God is busy doing. I told the people in the first service last night, I went to the casino. Not to gamble, but to go and look at the movies there, to watch the movies. Me and my wife, I was thinking, you know what, Yaku's car, he gave me his car. just thinking, you know what? I hope the congregants don't see this. But you know what? Being in the Spirit, I don't have to justify what I'm doing, but to live in Christ. I'm not saying that we must live foolish lives, but what I'm saying this morning, there's a place of contentment that we find in Christ, where we can live out the expectation that He has in our lives. Those who walk according to the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 17. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, speaking to ourselves, ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. I don't want to speak about walking in the Spirit, especially this morning, but what I do know is there's a certain expectation and requirement that you and I walk into when we see the presence of God unfolding in our lives and in our communities. So nice, a few years ago, you would remember the transformation videos of communities being transformed in the likeness of Christ. George Otis Jr. spoke about 10 things that he saw in every community that was transformed, where they experienced revival. And I want to read it to you this morning. He said that political leaders publicly acknowledge their sin and dependence on God. Secondly, new laws and business practices were put into effect. The natural environment is restored to its original life-nurturing state. Economic conditions improve and lead to a discernible lessening of poverty. Communities would change. They experience poverty to stop. There is a marked change in social entertaining and vices as kingdom values are integrated into the rhythm of daily life. Crime and corruption diminish throughout the community. Volunteerism increases as Christians recognize their responsibility to heal and undergird the community. Restored hope and joy leads to a decline in divorce, bankruptcy, and suicide. The spiritual nature of the growing socio-political renewal becomes a hot topic in the social media. You saw in the media how things change. And number 10, overwhelmed by the goodness of God, grateful Christians take the embers of revival into the surrounding communities and nations. This sounds like a community that I want to see. This sounds like the kind of transformation that I want to experience in my community and church. And I want to say to you, when Paul spoke about experiencing the Spirit to change us, it means that the only solution for this country is that the Spirit is leading us. I was so blessed to speak to Davi the other day, a guy that's doing some leadership training there in Windhoek. And just to listen what they are doing, teaching leadership skills to different government officials all over the country, here in Namibia. I was so surprised just to hear the openness of the government to listen to Christian principles. And just the fact that he spoke about so many things that changed in this nation as an effect to it. When the Spirit of God comes into our midst, we see that even the Word of God becomes relevant, where in our houses we start to live the Word of God, that it's written in our hearts, and we see how people start to meditate on it day and night. Also, purity gets to be established in our communities. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want to speak about this principle because I've many times saw that we as Christians don't understand what it means to be Spirit-led. That we think it's about the spiritual, spooky experience when we start to worship here in front and people fall over. That's part of it. But I recognize that there's only one way in which we will engage into the promise of God in being led by the Spirit. That it's not about drinking tea together and think that we are going to attain to change and to bring revival to this land. But it's when all of us get synchronized in the Spirit of God. Then unity starts to prevail and we see the fruit of communities being changed. I want to say to you this morning, you know what is so special to me? We speak about unity, unity all the time, and we say that the churches must work together. What is so beautiful about the season that we are living in is the fact that it's busy happening. Jesus is bringing his bride together, but it's those who listen and act upon his agenda. And that is so special to me because that means that true revival is coming. Is when all of us can be synchronized with what God is busy doing. We align ourselves toward that. We get into step and we start to march according to what God wants to do in our midst. That place of being synchronized in the Spirit means that you and I must start with our thoughts first. It's not just about worshiping and experiencing the fullness of Christ, but it's to renew our minds to such an extent where we act upon what God is busy doing. I spoke to Annie the other day and we were just quarreling about, you know, just Jesus and his ministry. And I asked him, you know, so when did Jesus get saved? Being here on earth, being incarnated into a human body, being God the Father, coming to earth to come and reach out to humankind. When did Jesus, through his carnality, get into a place where he started to fulfill the second birth? Did Jesus ever get to be born again? One of the things that we were at least in unity about was the fact that Jesus, when he was baptized, experienced the Spirit of God. And when he received the Spirit, his ministry started. And there was life. God the Father imparting his life into Jesus. I'm going to tell you this morning, you know what? We can have a lot of structures and wonderful traditions. But if we don't have the Spirit of God in our lives, there's no life at all. So for us to get to that place where we start to live and being in step with the Spirit, we must hear the Spirit talk. And that does not mean that you and I start to get our minds renewed and receiving peace. And I said to them earlier on, yoga is not helping us at all as humankind. You cannot go and sit down and find the peace around you. Because your mind will never be in peace if it's not renewed by the thoughts of God. You cannot empty your head. You cannot find peace if you don't take one thought and replace it with another. And God the Father wants us to experience the fullness of His Spirit by just imparting into us an expectation for the Spirit to work. But we must renew our minds. And therefore, this scripture in 2 Corinthians is so special to me because he speaks about five things, how we act upon a thought that comes into our minds. And he says that we are warring in the Spirit. He speaks about a thought, then he speaks about the fact that there's a contradiction against the will of God, and then a reasoning. We start to reason and we ask ourselves, you know, is this right? Is it really that bad? I don't know about you, but when you start to think about wrong things in your life, you think, oh, you know what? Other people are not, is also doing it. So it's fine if I do it. You start to reason. And then it goes to another phase of imagination, where we start to imagine how we are doing wrong. And then the last one, into action. And I want to tell you, if we want to really step into the Spirit and move as the Spirit leads us, how do we renew our minds? By taking every thought captive. If you get to the point of reasoning, you're well past the point of return. You must immediately start to discipline yourself to walk in the Spirit. And Paul says, you know what? The more I try, the less I get it right. The more I want to do good, I experience myself being so empty. But it's only the Spirit of God that can change me. And this morning I want to say to you, if we want to experience spiritual revival, if we want to walk into the promises that God has for us, we must first start with our thoughts. Taking it captive and start to renew ourselves by replacing one thought with the other. Spiritual revival will start when we renew our thoughts. The last one is then where we get into unity with what God wants us to do. And I want to read this to you. Manifest presence of God is directly linked to the righteousness and holiness. If we want to experience the presence of God in our congregations, we must start to live righteous lives where we position ourselves in Christ, but also in holiness, where we start to just renew our minds and thoughts and start to repent before God so that God can renew us as people. Then we will experience the presence of God. But you know what? If we want to really live lives of fruit, authority and effectiveness is directly linked to unity. So we can have the presence of God in our lives and still not be effective and not change our societies. There's many movements of God where the presence of God was all over the place, but still people didn't act in faith to go and change their communities. It's only when we start to experience the will of God together as a congregation, as a church, and we can say that we are in sync with His will, that unity causes us to see transformed communities. But to come to that fullness, we must experience that place of corporate prayer, corporate holiness, seeking after after God and His Spirit, and then move in unity to go and change our communities. Romans 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, one thing that I know about Christ in us is the fact that you and I can connect to the heart of the Father. We can see people being transformed just because of who He is within us. I sat with this guy, and as I spoke to him, and I really at this stage, you know, felt, you know, not to make a fuss out of this relationship anymore. But as I spoke to him and I shared with him just out of my own life on the aeroplane, we were busy just landing in Joburg. And I remember him saying to me, you know what? I must be honest with you. It's the first time that I, in church circles, spoke to somebody that could really be honest with me about the relationship with Jesus Christ. I always felt like just being the outcast, having to do things right before I can be part of the body. But I got into this plane with my bag. only one bag because I basically fled from my family, my wife and two kids, because I don't see any future for us anymore. I don't see us belonging together anymore. But after speaking to you, I can tell you that God has shifted something in my heart. I can recognize that I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and I need to do so. I can see something in your life that is transforming your life and changing people around you. I want to be like that. I'm going to get onto the plane. When I get to Joburg, I'm going to get onto the next plane back to Cape Town because I must be with my family. I want to tell you, you know what? God is so precious. When the life within us starts to grow, we've got something to part into the world, to impart. Paul said, you know what? If I think about myself, I must be honest with you. I'd rather forget everything that's behind me. And I focus myself to what Christ has set before me. And I want to tell you, I get a lot of things wrong. And believe me, I, Paul, cannot get it right. And if I say imitate me, I want to tell you today, it's not about Paul and who Paul is and Paul's ministry and the man of God of the hour. I want to tell you, I'm Paul because of what Christ has done within me. I can say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But please do not imitate me as a person. I want to tell you this morning, there's so many things that the church get wrong, but one thing is precious. Christ is building his body. And I stand in awe if I see just in many congregations and a lot of different you know, church groups, I see that God is busy raising people out of every tribe and nation with the Spirit of God in their hearts. I'm so excited about the future and what God has in store for us as Christians. Not because of, you know, the overwhelming opposition that we are experiencing. And I want to tell you, I know that there's times that we're going to experience persecution not long from now. I can see just the cycle. And if I read, you know, just Jesus and the opposition that Christians in society experience because of the social setup, the social pressure that they experience of people wanting them to conform to the world and just the cultural pressure. And I'm telling you that we are experiencing the same. It's beautiful what's happening here in Namibia, and I want to tell you, I'm so excited just that here's a nation that's still so sincere. If I walk in South Africa, I can just see that there's so many challenges of society trying to pressure the truth of God. But what I can tell you, that God is raising up young people, he's raising up wonderful people that has his Spirit within them. And that is so beautiful. I want to leave you this morning with just the thought. And I, you know, I'm so challenged by the fact that we don't have the answers. But I think it's the best place to be. Let's just quickly stand. We're going to sing together this morning. I want to challenge you as a church this morning, together with myself. Seek the presence of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come into your presence, we want to recognize, Father, that there's nothing in this life that is more precious than you being in control. We want to just be on your agenda. We recognize that, Jesus, you could not live without the agenda of the Father. And Father, we don't want to walk in the flesh. We recognize this morning, Father, that it's so easy to try to reason ourselves out of our circumstances and justifying our actions and our motivation. But Father, this morning, we want to recognize that we can only be transformed by your Spirit. We want to pray, give us the living water. Father God, give us the opportunity to speak into people's lives and to really share with them what you are doing in our lives. Father, we treasure the little small moments where your Spirit is at work within us. Father, we repent, like Paul, in saying that we so easily want to walk in the flesh. It's so easy, Father, to walk into Swakopmund and still be the same old, same old. We want to ask you that we will be the light to this town, that we will have the opportunity to live and transform a nation. And Father, I pray that you will renew our minds. This morning we recognize that there's so many thoughts that we ponder, Father, that we start to wrestle with, that we should not even do. Father, there's just no conversation. There's no, Father God, meaning for us to live in the flesh. And Father, we ask this morning, renew our minds. Give us your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I want to ask you, Jesus, that as you transform us, that you will also change and transform our families. Give us the opportunity to go back to, Father God, to our extended families even, and to really make a change. On a weekend such as this, where all family comes together, that we will be the light to the world. Give us the opportunity to bless our children and to really see them walking in the ways of God. Help us to impart your Spirit rather than, Father, your traditions and your culture. Father, I pray this morning that as we walk into Swakop today, that you will lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's